Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Hayes. I just want to welcome you this morning. Let us get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to bless you, to glorify you, to magnify you, and give you all the praise and glory that is due your name, Lord. We just say thank you for everything that you have done. We enter your porch with thanksgiving and we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your porch with praise. We say thank you, Lord God, for this day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, Lord, we come before you with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will, and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk to live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with full and deeper and clear insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion, which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control of the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Yesterday we began talking about the prayer that, hindrances to our prayers. In Luke 11, our scripture comes from Luke 11, verse 1, where Jesus was praying in a certain place, and his disciples came and asked him to teach them how to pray, just as John taught how to pray. So we see from this account, Luke 11, chapter 1, and today we'll read all the way to verse 8. Let's read there. It says, then he was praying in a certain place, and when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, held holy and revered on earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily our bread, food for the morrow, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, who has offended us or done us wrong, and bring us not into temptation, but rescue us from evil. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and will say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine who is on a journey has just come and I have nothing to put before him. And he from within will answer, do not disturb me, the door is now closed and my children are in bed, are with me in bed, I cannot get up and supply you with anything. I tell you, although he will not get up and supply him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence and insistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Amen. And so, yesterday we looked at the fact that, you know, usually the issue is on our end. One of the hindrances is on our end, us not realizing that Jesus has already won the victory for us, and he's already given us the thing that we desire as we pray. However, here, Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer, which in itself is so powerful because he's giving them a guideline of how we need to be praying as we approach our Father who is in heaven. In the Old Testament times, the people never knew God as Father. They knew him as just the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of Elijah and all that. But we now have a more intimate relationship with him, and so he's not a remote or distant God. He's a God who is like a Father, who is our Father. And so when we approach him, knowing that he's our Father, we can go to him with anything, and we should expect to receive, just like, you know, having that childlike faith. Now, what I want us to focus on is how he spent verses teaching them the prayer. Then he starts from verse 5. So let's look at verse 5. So after these disciples approached him with this request to teach them how to pray, he now teaches them a parable. And we know that Jesus would teach using parables. So he teaches them this parable of how this friend, you know, if you have a friend, you go to him at midnight and ask him for 3 loaves of bread, and he doesn't respond to you? What would you do? And so he actually, in verse 8, it says, I tell you, although he will not get up and supply him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence and insistence. This is referring to a persistent determination in prayer that will not be put to shame by any apparent refusal or delay on God's part. Okay, this is what this is telling us. That this person here, because he's of his shameless persistence and insistence, this friend will end up getting up. So Jesus is teaching in this parable about being persistent in prayer. Amen. After these disciples are asking him how to pray. Lord, what do we do? He teaches them the Lord's Prayer, but then he now tells them, once you pray, you need to be persistent in prayer. Amen. He gave them an example of how to pray, and then he taught them the parable of this man going to his friend's house with great confidence and expect two key ingredients that we need in order to receive answers to our prayers. Without these two, or without the persistence, without the confidence, expectancy, and shameless persistence, many times we won't see answers to our prayers. If there's a delay, we will be moved by the, you know, no answer or nothing happening in the natural, and we will think that God has refused, and then we give up. So the man in need fully believed that when he asked for help, his friend would help him and give him what he needed. Not only that, his plea was urgent. You see, he receives this guest who has come from a long journey, and he has nothing to put before him, got nothing to give him. And so he goes to this friend with an urgent plea, and he's expecting and he's confident that he'll come back with something, because he cannot go back home empty-handed. His urgent request was initially met with a flat refusal. He was probably shocked or surprised by his friend's response, because he never expected his good friend to deny him. And I can imagine this man saying, what do you mean you can't get up and help me? I'm desperate. I don't have anyone else to turn to for help. You've got to help me. I'm not leaving until you help me. I'll stay here all night if that's what it takes. I can imagine him saying that. So instead of turning around and going home without the loaves of bread that he needed, he continues to bang on his friend's door. What does that mean? It continued to persevere. He kept making his demand until the door was open and his need was met. So the man was totally shameless in his persistence. And so in this illustration, Jesus stressed that although the man would not get up to help his friend on the basis of their friendship, he would get up and give his friend what he needed because of his friend's importunity, or his friend's shameless persistence and insistence and refusal to give up. You see, this teaching is very clear. If you don't immediately receive an answer to your prayers, a prolonged delay, which happens in many cases, do not allow yourself to become weary or lazy. Don't give up, basically. And so with this same type of shameless persistence, you must continue to come before God. You must make your demands with increased intensity and faith until you receive your answer. This type of prayer refuses to faint or to grow weary. It is motivated and sustained by a faith that will not let go. In fact, when he finishes telling the disciples in verse 8, he goes on to verse 9 and 10 and says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking, receives. And he who finds, to him and to him who seeks and keeps on seeking, finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. Amen. And so, but then there's expectance. You don't go to God not expecting that the answer will come. You have to have the ingredients of confidence and expectance. When we go before the Lord, we should go confident. How can you go before the Lord with confidence in your prayer? Well, we are told in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and he hears us. So there's the answer right there. How do you pray with great confidence and expectancy? Well, first of all, when we pray according to his will of God, the word of God is the will of God. From Genesis to Revelation, that is the will of God for us. And so if we go to him using the word, then we can be confident that he listens to and he hears us, because we are not praying anything outside of his word. We are praying his word back to him. We are taking the same promises he's given to us, and we are bringing them back to his remembrance. And so if we ask him according to what he has already said in his word, then he listens to and he hears us. So, for example, let's say you're believing God for a job, and you know, you don't know what scriptures. Well, there's so many scriptures that you could use, but let's use Psalm 84. And so hold your finger at 1 John 5, because we'll come back. But let's go to Psalm 84. And in Psalm 84, I mean, I'm just picking out, there's so many of them, but I like this one. I like Psalm 84. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but Psalm 84 is one of them. Verse 11. In verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, if you are looking for a job, or you're going for a job interview or whatever, you need the favor of God. So as you are praying, you know, when you pray, you're trusting God to grant you favor with the people whom you're going to interview with. So you want the favor of God to go before you. And so you can pray, Lord, according to your word in Psalm 84:11, I decree and declare that your favor is upon me, and that you bestow your favor upon me. As I go for this job interview, Lord God, I thank you that your favor is going before me. Your favor is making a way for me where there's no way. I thank you, Lord God, for you. Your word says, no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. And because Jesus has made me righteous, I thank you, Lord, that you will not withhold any good thing from me. I thank you, Lord God, that this is a good job with a good pay, and you will not withhold anything that is good. And so I decree and declare that this job is mine, or I claim this job as mine. And as I stand on your word in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing will you withhold from me, because I walk uprightly. So you are praying with knowing that, well, it's done, because you've used the word of God in that instance. You know, and you know, according to 1 John 5:14, when you pray in agreement with his word, his own plan, he listens to and he hears us. So now let's say maybe it's not a job. Maybe you're dealing with, you know, a severe situation right now in your life, and you really don't know what to do, whether it's financial, whether it's dealing, it could be marital, whatever situation that, you know, you might be faced with at this moment, and you really don't know what to do. and it's just trouble on every side. Well, Psalm 34 has promises in there. And Psalm 34, Psalm 34, verse 17. First of all, verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the uncompromisingly righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You can go before the Lord to say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you. According to your words in Psalm 34, it is written that your eyes are toward the uncompromisingly righteous, and your ears are open to their cry. Lord, I am in right standing. I come before you through the name of Jesus, because Jesus has made me righteous. And therefore, Lord, I know that your ears are open to my cry. Then you go, verse 17. Your word says here in Psalm 34, 17, that when the righteous cry to you for help, you hear them and you deliver them out of all their distress and troubles. Lord, I'm coming before you right now, and I'm crying to you for help. Lord, hear my cry and deliver me out of all my distress and troubles. Lord, you also said in verse 19, Psalm 34, verse 19, that many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Lord, I come before you right now, and I present all my need. I present my need before you. Lord, many evils are confronting me right now, but I'm asking you, Lord, to deliver me out of them all. You have promised that you will deliver me out of them all. And I thank you, Lord God, that even right now you hear my cry and you're delivering me out of all my distress and out of all this trouble. I thank you, Lord God, that you're delivering me out of all the evils that are confronting me right now. And I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor, and I thank you that it is done, settled, and concluded in Jesus' name. Amen. So what have I done? I have prayed in agreement with his own plan, and he listens to and he hears us. Amen. So he's hearing me because I prayed according to his will. If we ask anything, make any request according to his will, which is his word, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and he hears us. Then we go down to verse 15, 1 John 5, 15. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of him. Basically, what is that saying? It is saying that if we go to him not only with great confidence, but the confidence part was taken care of, then verse 15 is talking about expectancy. We should expect to receive what we've asked for. The petition that we presented, we should expect to receive an answer because we know that he listens to us in whatever his will. We came in agreement with his own plan, so we know that he listens to us in whatever we ask. And so because we know that he listened to us, we should also know we've settled an absolute knowledge, which is with expectancy. We should expect that we have granted to us as our present possession. So the thing that we have believed God for, we should believe that we possess it now because he listened to us. He heard our cry. We prayed in agreement with his own plan. And because he listened, we should know it is a settled matter. It is, you know, he has granted us our present, that we have granted us as our present possession the requests made of him. So if I presented my prayer request to him according to his will, then he has heard me. And because I know that he has heard me, I should be expectant to receive my answer. In fact, as it is right now, as I pray, it is already done. So I should just be expecting a manifestation of my prayer. I shouldn't doubt. I shouldn't worry. I shouldn't have anxiety because he has already taken care of it. Amen. And so this is what this is really talking to us about. You know, when you pray, this type of shameless, you know, persistence with this, you know, shameless persistence and insistence. You know, you refuse to give up. Even if the answer doesn't come in your time frame. You know, you refuse to grow faint or grow weary. You know, this type of prayer is motivated and sustained by a faith that will not let go. You, just like this man, you're not going to stop asking. Now, yes, and I've talked about this before, sometimes when we talk about you don't need to go to God the second time to pray twice. But here, Jesus is talking about being persistent. There are certain situations that you don't need to keep going. You know, you'll know which situation you need to present to the Lord, and you need to keep going, like what this man had, this situation that he had here. First of all, remember, he said, I have nothing to put before this man. If you're fighting in a situation, you know, he had a need. He had a material need. And sometimes with material needs, you'll have to keep persisting until, you know, the answer is manifested. In his situation, he had a material need. He needed food. He needed these loaves to put in front of his friend to feed his friend. And he had absolutely nothing to give his friend. And so there was no way he could go back with nothing. And so he continued to, because he knew his friend had it. And so he knew that his friend would supply him with the very thing he needed. Well, in this case, let's take you and I. We know that God is our source. We know that God is the one who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So it's not according to our bank account. It's according to his bank account. And so when you go the first time, say it's a financial need or a material need that you have, you go before the Lord the first time, it doesn't come, well, you can keep going back. But what I say is, rather than keep going back with the, you know, we see what this guy did. He asked the first time, okay? He told his friend what it was that he needed. And the friend said, you know, don't disturb me. My children are in bed. I'm not getting up. So he's already told him what the need is. And then the friend continued. He continued to knock on the door. That's what he continued to do. His friend, yet because of his shameless persistence and insistence, he will get up. So his friend kept on knocking. Just come on. Help me, man. Help me. You can't leave me out here. Come on. Help me. Help me. And so that's, I equate that with you and I. Like if you have that financial need, you keep going to remind God. When it's saying keep knocking and keep asking, it's not, God, I don't have money. I came before to you to say I don't have money. And I'm coming back again. I don't have the money. No, you would go to God and say, Lord, I thank you because I know you heard me the first time. But I'm just reminding you that you have said in your word that you will meet all of my need according to your riches and glory through by Christ Jesus. You've already said, Lord God, that you provide. You know, David said that he was old and he had never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so, therefore, Lord, I'm coming to put you in remembrance that I am your seed and I will not beg. I decree and declare that I will not have to beg for bread because you are my source. I thank you, Lord, that you are my provider. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You will never let me down. You said when I'm in trouble, you will deliver me. I mean, you bring all these scriptures. And so you keep going to God. It could be the same situation. You're going to God. But it's not like you're knocking afresh. So I have this situation. And this friend has come, and I don't have anything to give him. And then, no, Lord, no. What this guy continued to do was he just continued to knock. He had already presented the request to the guy, but he just continued to knock and continued to knock and continued. Tomorrow we'll look at another account where Jesus is teaching about, you know, us, you know, coming in shameless persistence and insistence as well. But he says, immediately after teaching on this, he says, ask and keep on asking. You know, it shall be given. So, again, it's not a matter of I've already asked, so I shouldn't ask again. No, you can now go back and place a demand on what you've asked. It's placing a demand and asking is different. Like if you have children, you get irritated. If the child came to you and said, so can you buy me this, and you say yes, and the child goes away. Then later on they come, Mom, can you buy me this? And you say, yeah, I told you I was going to do it. Okay, then they go back. Mom, can you buy me this? He said, yeah, the first time, did I tell you that I would buy you, I would get it for you? Yeah, it's different. If you think about a child, you will get irritated if the child keeps coming to do that. So the first time they've come to ask, can you buy me this, this, this? You say, yes. They go away. The next time they'll say, so when are you buying me this? That's different. It's not like they've said, they're asking you again to say, can you buy me this, this, this? Because they've already presented their request. What they're now saying is, when are you going to buy? Is it tomorrow? Or is it, you know, later today? Or is it next week? When? You know, so that's different. And that's what I believe Jesus is talking about here. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. And keep on seeking until you find it, until the door is open to you. Just like with this guy, he kept on knocking. He may not even have been saying anything else. You know how it is. If somebody's sleeping and you're knocking, you've already told them what you need. They know you're outside that door. And so this guy probably just kept on, boom, 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 boom. And this guy wouldn't wake up. And he would stand there, boom, 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 boom. Come on, wake up, boom, 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 boom. But he wasn't, I don't believe he kept on saying, you see, I have this friend who has come, and this is this, then boom, 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 boom. You see, I have this friend who has come, and this is this. No, he wasn't doing that. He kept on knocking, he kept on asking, but he had already presented his request the first time when the friend refused. And now this time, it's like he was, you know, letting him know, I'm not leaving. And so he just kept up, boom, 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 boom. Come on, wake up. Come on, help me. Boom, 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 boom. Come on, help me. But again, he wasn't, you know, repeating that request over and over. He may have said, used different terminology to request, you know, by saying, help me, come on, get up, and all that. And so this is what Jesus is teaching us. We've presented our request before the Lord. Now it's, you know, an everyday thing. Lord, I just want to thank you. Because I know you heard my cry the first time. I thank you because you are my source. And I'm just putting you in remembrance, Lord God, of your word. You said this, you said this. You know, you said you would do this for me. You said if I did this, you would do that. Lord, you know, I'm coming before you now, and I'm putting you in remembrance because you have said that you would provide for me. You have said you would take care of me. You would set. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you right now. I'm reminding you, Lord, that I have this need, and you promised that you would take care of it. And, you know, as you do that, as you keep doing that, you don't stop. You don't quit because you prayed the first time, the first day the answer didn't come, and then now you give up. No, you keep on doing it until you receive the answer, until that door is opened unto you. Amen. And so this is what, you know, we need to have this shameless persistence and insistence. We need to make sure that we have great confidence and expectancy that when we pray, we will receive. Unbelief is, and we'll talk about that on its own, but unbelief is a major hindrance to answered prayers. Because if you're praying and you don't believe that what, you know, you believe you receive what you're prayed for, that right there blocks your answer or delays you. It could delay your answer, or you may not even receive an answer at all. And so it's so important that if you are going through a situation right now, that you, you know, hold on, press in, and wait in faith until your answer is manifested. We'll talk about this. We'll continue tomorrow. But I call this type of prayer a holy wrestling. It's a wrestling inside, within, not wrestling in the flesh outwardly, but it's a spiritual wrestling. And so it's where you refuse to give up. You refuse to give up, cave in, and quit. It's really taking hold of God himself until that answer is manifested in your life. I pray you've been blessed by today's teaching. By God's grace, we'll speak again tomorrow morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Bye-bye.